Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Totally different subject for 30 seconds. Max sent me this thing during the break because somebody had told me this, and I'm like, it can't possibly be true. But last night's Yankees-Red Sox game, in which the game in the bottom of the ninth with the Red Sox leading 3-1, the Yankees reached base three straight batters to open up the inning. The bases were loaded with nobody out. And they became the first team in Major League Baseball postseason history to have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth and not score a run and then lose the game. That just seems so unbelievably crazy. Like, how many times do you see the bases loaded and, you know, there's a ground ball hit to the shortstop, comes home for one to first, double play. Like, one swing, you can get two with, you know, with the first at the plate. But that's what it says. First time. It was exciting last night, that's for sure. I actually had a decent day. I like wagering on baseball. I just played all of the unders and was 3-1. I'm going to be on all of the unders again today. There's people that start betting baseball for the first time. They bet it during the postseason, and they love overs. It's just like Monday night football games. People love overs. Sunday night games, love overs. Standalone games, betting public always loves the over. It's easier to root for the over. You don't want to root for the clock to run in football with no points. You don't want to root for, you know, a quick no-hit, you know, kind of no-hitters in baseball are good. And I like 2-1 games. I like the Red Sox, too, to end it tonight against the Yankees. All right, back to the subject at hand. You can play head coach here and make one change defensively to fix the defense. One, what's your number one fix defensively? I wrestled with it. I don't feel good about my answer because I think it's really hard to come up with the right solution when you don't really know what the problem is. And as I mentioned, and I'll say this multiple times, already have, I've been told that it's not one thing. It is a lot of things going on. By the way, they do get that there's an issue. Like, you know, they're not riding the roller coaster here of, oh, we're really good defensively after playing the Giants, or, man, we are really good defensively after playing the Raiders. They do understand their issues. I do think, and again, I want to emphasize this, through four games, they're a better run-stopping team than they were last year. So they did fix one area, at least, you know, temporarily through four games. They also have been, until Sunday, decent at generating and scheming up pass pressure. You know, Armstrong's had a really good year as a pass rush guy, but there are clear issues on the back end in coverage, as we've identified. 301-230-0980. Joe, you get one fix. What is it?
Kevin, how you doing?
I'm well, Joe. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, I'm going to have to say it because I know this has been a problem. I understand he was injured last year as well when we traded for him, but Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, I understand the Giants and the Raiders, different story. And, yeah, he did okay week one against Malik Nabers. But Marshawn Lattimore is either making this deja vu nightmare, whether he's committing these pass interference penalties or just getting blown in coverage. And it's like, are we really going to have to do that again? Because I'm glad you brought this up in the last segment that the next couple of weeks we're facing quarterbacks that are top of the QBR rating, I think, for the next seven games at least, and it's not going to look good. So if Marshawn has another bad day when Justin Herbert's going to light him up, are we going to have this conversation again? And back to the little run defense, yes, we have improved a bit, but are we going to say that if Saquon later in the year we face Eagles two out of the last three games has another field day against us? So take care, Kevin. There you go.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. By the way, this from Will, who I guess has the PFF numbers. Quan Martin has played free safety the significant majority of the time. Like on Sunday, he played free safety 42 snaps, played in the box 12 snaps. And he said the other games he's got 35-19, Giant game 46-17, Packers 39-19. Yeah, he's been much more of a free safety. I liked Quan Martin last year. I liked Quan Martin last year. I liked Chin last year at times. The safety issue is a bit of an issue right now. I think Quan Martin as a free safety is not, it may be their best thing, and maybe Savage ends up, you know, being something here for them. But I think they've got a problem there as well. By the way, you know, one fix to everything is Jaden Daniels coming back. All right, Jaden Daniels coming back, putting the pressure on the opponent because offensively Washington is moving the football, possessing the football, not punting very much, scoring, you know, a lot. That can help too. And the other thing too, I was thinking about this. I do think that if, you know, that essentially the panic button is let's just scheme up a lot of aggressive pass rush pressure. Let's just go after the quarterback and live with whatever happens after that. If they can't fix and they're uncomfortable with the back end. Let's go to Mark in Largo. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Kevin? To all the people that don't know football and know fantasy football, they're going to say Marshawn Lattimore. But, Kevin, I'm so shocked you haven't said this already. Why not take your best asset, your athletic guy, and use him like you use Micah Parsons? And that's Frankie Louvu. I would take Frankie Louvu.
Well, because
Louvu
he's
right
not
now.
Micah Parsons, right. For starters.
Okay, okay. We know that, Kevin.
Yeah.
We know that. But he's the only one you have on your team that you could use. Okay? Use him, blitz him from the side, blitz him from the middle, blitz him from the other side, blitz him from the locker room, blitz him from the stands. It doesn't matter. If you have him getting the pressure on him, do what you have to do. The other thing I would do is put Preston Smith at the end starting on Sunday, because you're going up against a team that has two of their tackles are dead. Yeah. This is where you could use Louvu and use his strength to get pressure on the passer, because I got news for everybody out there that think it's Lattimore. And I don't think Lattimore's having a good year either. But if you have five Daryl Greens back there, if receivers have time and quarterbacks have time, they're going to get open. You got to get pressure on the quarterback, Kevin. You know that.
Mark, look, that is definitely over all of our years of watching football. We understand you get pressure, your secondary is elevated. The difference in today's game is quick game. You know, so many teams essentially try to nullify pass pressure with quick throws. I mean, when you're playing, when you're in quick game and the ball's coming out quickly, you don't. Say again?
That's why I say, in essence to that, you know what the answer is for that?
Yeah, interior pressure.
If you have someone coming up the middle,
yeah.
Like, this is what I couldn't understand. Joe Witt was faking the blitz up the middle. If he would have came with the blitz up the middle, he would have got to Pennant a lot, I mean, at least four times. You can't do it from the side anymore. That I agree with you. The only way you could stop someone's quick game, you got to get him up the middle.
Okay. Well, you know what?
And
maybe Aaron Donald's available and we can go get him.
Passing downs, and they need to bring Jordan McGee in there, too.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
You got to get pressure on the passer, Kevin.
Yeah, you did. And you know what? In the first three games, they got decent. In the first three games, certainly against the Giants and the Raiders, they were disruptive with pressure. I agree with you. But like I said, and I've said it for the last 2 days, you know, you want to scheme up pressure, which means now, you know, you've got an extra pass rusher. You've maybe got two extra pass rushers. And now you are really limited, and you better get there, or there are a bunch of house calls coming.
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting, Kevin? You know what's interesting? If Greg Williams had this team, you know what he would be doing.
I know. I agree. And you know what? I think Quinn, I actually think Quinn, if they get sort of frustrated with the secondary, and the only answer is pressure, I think they could become a hyper-aggressive team on pass downs.
I mean, that's the thing I don't understand. You know, it's interesting. Greg Williams is the only – you can bring Greg Williams off the street. Everyone knows I'm blitzing from the ceiling. I'm blitzing from the stands. I'm blitzing from the parking lot. I'm blitzing from and he gets results. So, I mean, the only way you're going to deal with these blitzing always works, Kevin. You and I both know that.
All right.
You got a great show.
Run.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah, love your calls. Thanks. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, L to the W, man. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, man. In the word of my man, Monty Brewster, man, all of the above. You know what I mean? Like, listen, man.
I know, but I want your number one.
Hey, I know, but I'm just saying ain't no number one. What I'm saying is the number one to me is schematics. Now, and I hate to say this, but I'm in agreement with Mark out there in Largo, man. Like, were you naming all of these players? Lattimore is struggling. Wagner is struggling. Clint is struggling. Luvu, Mikey, Ain't a struggle. Were you naming all of these players? It's a schematic problem. Because against these good teams, these two good teams that we played two good teams, we played two mediocre teams. You know? And against these teams, good teams, we've been very vanilla. Period. It's like we're playing preseason football out there. And these guys are attacking what they perceive as our weakness. You see, Atlanta game plan was the game plan Green Bay had in the passing game, and they worked it to perfection, just as Green Bay did. This is about schematics, knowing who your players are, knowing the strengths of your defense, and making it work for you. Like you said, we don't have nobody special up front. So you have to be more aggressive than you need to be. And then being aggressive than what you need to be is also putting your D-backs on alert, saying so now they know that okay, it's either going to be something quick or they go something over top. It's too much thinking going on.
Well, you better get
there
if you're going to be aggressive.
I mean that's the name of the game. You talk about Quan Martin. This wasn't about they chose the guy that had Will Harris. This wasn't about they wanted Will Harris talent over Jeremy Chin. No, they wanted Will Harris money over Jeremy Chin. Because one thing I know about Jeremy,
it was half. It was half.
But one thing about those two, they gained a rapport last year. You seen them get
a little bit
week in and week out. And by the end of the year, they had a hell of a safety combination back there.
I thought so. I mean, a lot of people killed Quan Martin and Jeremy Chin all year long. I thought by the end of the year, it was actually more satisfactory.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They had a rapport to the last half of the season last year. And this is a schematic thing, man. This is a Joe Witt thing. And I can admit, I've been wrong on two accounts. I try to defend Joe Witt in the offseason, and I defended Lattimore coming in. Both of them had struggled, yes. But to me, this is more of a Joe Witt thing than anything, man. They have to come up with a scheme on who they want to be. I said this last week in and week out. You can't be a tough guy 1 week and then be passive aggressive the next week. You know, cause, look, that game on Sunday, everybody in that secondary looked scared. Nobody looked like they knew what they was doing and what they were supposed to be doing. So, like I said, when you're naming multiple players, we're naming multiple players. This is a schematic thing that's going on. So to me, it has to be Joe Witt, man.
So what would you do? Would you have Quinn take over play calling duties?
No, Quinn would never do that. He would never.
I didn't say he would do it. I'm saying, what would you do?
Well, what I do, I'll bring him into my office and say, okay, we need to develop an identity and something that we're going to live and die by, you know, and let's go here instead of doing this. Okay, let's guess on this guy.
What if the choice, let me throw this out to you. What if the choice, something of an identity, was to play a ton of zone, and they played more of it recently, and play Ben Don't Break?
Well, that's what we did last year.
That's why
I gave Joe Witt credit. That's why I gave him credit last year. He did more with less last year, and now he's doing less with more this year. So it's a schematic thing, man. They need to be more aggressive, number one, against these good teams and stop being so scared back there. I'd rather die by the gun than die by death by a thousand.
It's always easier for me to literally go after the quarterback and go down swinging. I think it's, by the way, it's a quicker death too, versus the, you know, 14 play drives playing bend don't break and trying to stop him in the red zone. All right, I gotta go. You've expressed your points very well. Thank you. Let's go to Daryl in Columbia. Daryl, go.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I totally agree with Paulie, man. I mean, it's the scheme. And, you know, the only adjustment that I would make is with the player personnel is like Ron Woodson and like Ronnie Lott. You know, once you lose your ability, you know, to play the corner, they move them at safety. And that's what I would do with Lattimore. Okay, I would put him.
All due respect, Marshawn Lattimore has never been Ronnie Lott or Rod Woodson, even in his Pro Bowl seasons.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No. What I'm saying, okay, Kevin, is that Lattimore can play better facing the quarterback. He needs to face the quarterback. He's lost his strength as a corner. You know, he doesn't have the speed. He's not confident. He holds on to the receivers. He gets called for penalties. So he needs to be looking at the quarterback as a safety. And I think that, you know, that would also help our safety group and move Quan to strong safety. But, again, I agree with Paulie, man. It's all, you know, this guy, Witt, he plays very passive. He's very passive. And these guys did look scared out there, like they didn't know what they wanted to do.
Well, they've looked unsure. They looked unsure of themselves in the two games against the good offensive teams. And I kind of agree with you, Daryl, and I kind of agree with Paulie from this perspective. If we're talking about more than just one player or one or two players, and I do think it's more than one or two players, then that leans more coaching, because it's not like all of these guys got worse at the same time. You know, there's something else going on here if we think all of a sudden Lattimore's terrible, all of a sudden San Ristil's taking a step back, Quan's struggling at safety. Bobby Wagner at his age is going to occasionally – remember why Bobby Wagner's on the field for every snap. He's an excellent run stopper. He actually can really blitz the quarterback, and he's an extension of being a coach on the field. He just can't cover, but sometimes you're going to have to live with, you know, they're out there in three wide receiver sets, and the back moves into the slot, and you have no choice. So,
hey, Kevin, let me add one more thing, and I'm going to go. I think that they also need to increase the 4-3 package, the base package, and put McGee out there. And if I was Dan Quinn, I would just go to Witt and tell him that I want to be more aggressive in everything that we do, because there were several times that it was 4th-and-2 or 3rd-and-4, and the defensive backs were playing back 10 yards. And they were doing a quick 5-and-out, and they had a first down.
Well, the last 3rd-and-7, the motion got him again. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a few times, Kevin, that they didn't go in motion, and the safeties were 10 yards back. And as soon as they got the snap, this guy just threw the ball to the open slot, and yeah, they had a first down easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one to Bijan when nobody covered him out of the slot. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate the call. Therein lies the problem. So if we do know that it's not one person or one thing, it's multiple things, that would indicate, especially if it's multiple players, that would indicate more scheme play calling. I mean, Paulie makes good points every once in a while. Aubrey, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Kevin. I'm out here in Las Vegas. I spoke with you a few days ago, but I've changed my mind since I got on the call I was going to talk about Quinn taking over the calling duties and just mention the fact that, you know, those guys are on headsets on Sunday. You don't know what they're saying to each other. He could be more involved and not make a big announcement about it. But I want to give you what I think is the number one, and this is going to be a different take. The number one thing we can do to help the defense, you ready, is to keep them off the field. Yeah. Last year, you know, think about it. The first few games, we were talking about how great it was that we only punted like four or five times.
Right.
So I think that we need to go back to our roots and keep them off the field. We're getting ready to face five, six great quarterbacks in the next, seven, eight games. We're not going to make all these fixes this week in 4 days. So I think it goes back, and I know I'm beating a horse here, but I did it on the last call. It goes back to Cliff Kingsbury. If he does not commit to running the football and eating up clock and keeping the defense off the field, then the defense is going to continue to suffer. They're just out there too much, and they're not that good. Let's just face it. We're going to outscore people and not win defensive struggles, in my opinion. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I think we should keep them off the field.
Yeah. No, your best defense is your offense when your offense has that capability, and this one does. Last year, they were 7th in the league in time of possession. This year, through 4 games, they're 28th in the league in time of possession, to emphasize your point. And the other part of that is that while, yes, the running game, if successful, can really be a clock eater, I don't care how they possess the ball and how they maintain possession of the ball and how they move it and how they score it. I just want it to happen. And last year, there were a lot of different ways, depending on the opponent, that they did that. So it's not for me an exclusive, let's run the football and possess it. It's do whatever you need to do. And I trust Cliff, even though I thought they should have run it more against Atlanta on Sunday. But with Jaden back, I trust him to do what's necessary to maintain possession of the ball and score. Ultimately, you just want to score. Yeah, it's better if you possess it for a while and score, but the longer a drive continues, the less likely it is to end in touchdown, because there's more opportunity for mistakes, for sort of self-infliction in the drive. But I'm with you. Their best defense last year was their offense. Appreciate the call. Kevin in Arlington, one fix defensively, what would it be?
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a comment or two, and I'll get to the fix. And you already had my personnel fix that we texted about. I agree. We need to put Mikey back out on the boundary, et cetera. But I think it's ironic that we're looking at the sixth consecutive year where we have defensive-minded men building this team, both in the coaching and in the front office. And here we are. We still suck defensively. Yeah, last year, we're 30th-ish in defending the run. Small sample size, I get it so far this year. But now we're 30th-ish defending the pass. And it's just incredible. If you look at our draft capital, you look at our money, et cetera, it's all gone to that side of the ball. For what? All right. I just had to get that out of the way. It's very frustrating because here we are. We're not any better defensively. Having said that, I think Paulie's point is spot on. When everything's part of the problem, when it's multiple, and by the way, when you love a pie chart to show, okay, how much of the multi, how much of it is wit/coaching versus players, but whatever. But when you're having this
kind of point issue, is if you're pointing to a bunch of players that aren't playing well and have played well at various points in their career, that is a strong lean to it must be scheme. Yeah.
It is. So here's the thing though, and it's a Quinn Witt thing with the susceptibility to getting smoked by Shanahan offenses. Yeah. Where is the self scout regarding what do we have to do differently to be at least?
I don't know. You don't think there's been a self scout on that?
And so just to finish, and then please jump in. You know, I don't think this needs to be publicized, but Mike Shanahan. Hey, Mike, come be a consultant and tell us how would you be. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. Well, I talk to Mike once in a while. He's not doing any of that stuff anymore. He is consulting one team and one team only, and that's his son's team.
I understand it.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. No, I just said that because I know how you feel about Mike, and I like Mike too.
Yeah.
But seriously, they need to hire someone who understands and can coach Quinn and weigh it up on what do you have to do differently, because they don't get it.
Maybe. You know who'd be great at that? Would be Cooley. He understands that offense better than anybody. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it. All of you that I missed, apologize. I have a guest now. John Orion's going to come on with us. We'll try to get back to this at the end of the show. We can, because there are a lot of good ideas, and I know a lot of you on hold had some. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.